Welcome back to the show. Welcome back to White Spot Giants This Week here on the home of Vancouver hockey and the home of the Giants, Sportsnet 650. My name is Dan O'Connor. Pleased to be with you. Big thanks to Trevor Longo for joining us in segment number one. And if you missed that conversation, you will be able to hear it again tomorrow. We'll be posting, I post all the shows actually onto the Vancouver Giants website. It's also available for download on the Sportsnet 650 website as well. Trevor Longo, of course, is representing the Vancouver Giants at the Kia Memorial E-Cup. Dominant performance on Saturday against a fellow from the London Knights. So Trevor Longo is representing the WHL in that tournament. He is off to round two. And the involvement in the Memorial E-Cup does not stop there. I haven't told anybody this until now, but on Saturday, December the 5th, I will be doing the broadcasting that day for a set of 10 games, I believe it is, and the fellow who will be joining me for those broadcasts is a friend of the show, a fellow who's been on as a guest a few times over the past couple of years. You can find him down south in Portland, Oregon, where he does the play-by-play for the Portland Winterhawks. And I'm just stoked to welcome a friendly face and a friendly voice to the program. Nick Merrick, welcome back, man. It's great to chat with you. It's great to, I'm looking forward to seeing you, man. Hope you're doing well. Welcome to the show.
Again, really appreciate you having me on. I can't wait to get back in the booth, even if it's going to be a virtual booth this time. But it's going to be some fun. We'll have some fun in December and before hopefully the official hockey swing really picks back up in January.
Totally, man. What a weird time this is for everybody, and I know we're all just kind of taking things day by day as they go, hoping to have some fun here in this conversation with you. Let's go back 8 months or so ago to kind of the early quadrant of March. Tell us about the final Portland Winterhawks game of the 2019-20 season and what the days were like for you as we inched our way towards a weekend of games that never ended up happening.
Yeah, I think it's the most interesting thing whenever you look back at these stories, and it's almost painful to start looking back at it. But just remember early March, there was a couple of home games the Winterhawks were playing and had a few wins that weekend, and we're ready to make a road trip to Spokane coming up on the next week. And because the coaching staff always likes getting out there a day early just so the players wouldn't have the bus legs going into the game right away after a six-hour drive. So a game on Thursday, the team would leave on Wednesday, a game on Friday, they'd leave on Thursday, et cetera. So we were kind of in that day before kind of phase. And right before that happened, it was kind of this big standstill. And you're noticing, players in professional sports get off, in their games, and they had to leave. And I remember most notably here in the States with the March Madness college basketball that was going on. All of the conference tournaments were going on, and I was putting some of those on my TV. And the next thing the teams come out for warm-ups, and then they were being sent back to the locker room. And that was kind of the first shock of like, hey, well, what's actually going on here? What is this? Like, is this COVID thing going to be for real? And, how is it really going to affect our life and the sports landscape and what the next 8 months eventually shaped up to be? So it's kind of a lot of unease. I think it was one of those, a lot of teams had unfinished business. I feel like Portland Winterhawks were kind of on that train as well. It was a team that wanted to be competitive. They knew they had a legit chance of coming out of the U.S. division if they could have ultimately survived. And I knew Everett was making a big push to catch Portland. That very well could have been. And I know many of their fan base were saying, it was Everett's to beat. They were going to come and take over Portland, but the Hawks kind of just stood strong, and then all of a sudden, it was almost within a snap of a finger. You fast forward 10 days after that, and the bus isn't going up to Spokane, so everyone's ready to go. The bags are already packed for the overnight trip. Everyone's kind of like, what's going on? What's the next chapter? What do we do now? And they sent them home, and they said, just stand by, stay healthy, stay by yourselves. We'll figure this out together. We'll see what the league has to say. And then next thing you know, it's pretty much players are saying goodbye, and they're being sent home, and then all the rinks are shut down, so everyone's doing all their off-season workouts. And I know, Dan, you and I were checking in with a bunch of the players, and for the most part, it seemed like they were doing well, but everyone was kind of like in disbelief because, they couldn't do the thing they love the most. They couldn't get on the ice to train for a while. They had to wait till the end of summer. Some places opened up earlier than others. So this whole, 8-month stretch has just been so bizarre. I mean, I'm glad everyone who's with us here has been staying safe and doing what they can to hopefully get back to hockey and we could all enjoy the sports that we love. But this has just been such a crazy year, and I'm sure we're all looking forward to just to turn the chapter.
Chatting right now with Nick Merrick. He is the play-by-play broadcaster with the Portland Winterhawks in the Western Hockey League here on White Spot Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. You think back to the 2019-20 season, the Portland Winterhawks finishing with the top record in the WHL, edging out Everett by that single point. You know, it's kind of hard not to think about what could have been. I know we've certainly done it with the Giants, who we're certainly trending in a positive direction leading into the playoffs, but did you like your chances coming out of the U.S. division? I mean, obviously, I see down, you know, to the east, there's the Edmonton Oil Kings in the Eastern Conference. Hard not to maybe imagine a possibility of, no way, could it be again the Portland Winterhawks and the Edmonton Oil Kings meeting in a league final? I mean, it was certainly a realistic possibility.
No, I think you nailed it there. I mean, from biased expectations, I think this team honestly thought they could represent the Western Hockey League in the Memorial Cup. From a more microcosm approach on it, of course, it was going to be Portland versus Everett. You really couldn't look further than obviously the first round matchup, whether it was going to be against Spokane or Seattle, because those two teams play the Hawks really hard. It wasn't going to be just a walk in the park to get to that second round and play in the U.S. championship game should that arise. But, I mean, there were a lot of things that were kind of going on, and Portland knew they had the personnel to do it. The coaching staff kind of doubled down on that, the trade deadline, by not adding any players. We appreciate the team we have. We were in first place at the time, so the coaching staff kind of told the guys, we believe in you. You know, this is a group that could do it. We don't need to make any moves. There was nothing out there that was worth trading assets for, bringing someone in and having to readjust and reacclimate and try to fit a role. They kind of liked all the role players and the stars that were on the team, and I think that kind of speaks volume of the program that you're able to build if you're Mike Johnson and Kyle Gustafson and then Don Hay coming in and Mike Coughlin with all his work and his scouting staff. So it was a good team that really kind of wanted to go through, and I know in the office, probably around, let's say, December or so, once the standings kind of figured themselves out a little bit more, I knew all of us were pointing at, oh, could this be another Edmonton-Portland year? Could this bring back the years? And then you look at the talented rosters, and there's a couple of top-end NHL prospects on both teams, just like there was back in the days when it went for 4 years. So there were kind of so many storylines, and I was very excited from just the broadcast and media perspective to be able to watch the team go through and see how they'd be able to perform in the playoffs. But the big thing from my perspective that I think is really a shame for a bunch of the players is Portland's still young. I don't think this was supposed to be their year going into the season. Once the season happened, then all of a sudden became, hey, just build the confidence, and this team could actually make a run and win a WHL championship and claim it. But then you look at all the playoff games that were missed opportunities to get that experience, and that's going to be the big question mark going into the 2020-2021 season, is how well these players can adjust to really having limited playoff time. You look at the Seth Jarvises, the Cross Hanises, the Jaden DeRose, the Reese Newkirks, or maybe not Reese, but those younger guys who were 16 when they came in and now were just drafted, those players only have five games experience in WHL playoffs because the Winterhawks were bounced in the first round by Spokane when they made their run through the U.S. division a year ago. So kind of not having that playoff time could be detrimental to this team just from the experience. And I think it was kind of one of those from Nick Merrick's perspective that I was thinking, hey, let's get to the playoffs. If they get bounced by Everett after winning a first round, so be it. They're going to learn a ton from that series. And then, you know, next year they'll come back even stronger. And, of course, there's all the potential of what happens with some of the prospective overagers and Johnny Ludwig, the captain. And, is he going to go over to Springfield to be a part of Florida's system? Is Joel Hofer going to move on as well and join the Blues? Or will those guys maybe have a chance of coming back? So there were a lot of question marks there, too. But the team was built well, as were so many. But it was just interesting kind of seeing the team just stuck with the plan. They had their same roster of 23, and they wrote them out, rightfully so.
Three Portland Winterhawks got drafted in the 2020 draft, Seth Jarvis, Cross Hanis, and then Jaden DeRoe. As far as the fit, as far as where they went, Nick, any surprise whatsoever when it came to those three? And I mean, I guess as we kind of move forward here, certainly three guys to kind of keep our eye on when it comes to eventually joining the pro ranks of hockey. But I just took a peek at Seth Jarvis, for example. I mean, it feels like he's been in the league forever, and yet it's only been 2 years, and that's just kind of the impact that he had, just not only on the Winterhawks, but the league as a whole. He was the first WHL player to go. I can only assume that 2 day period for the NHL draft was a positive day for the Winterhawks organization.
100%. I think you hit it too, especially with Seth Jarvis. There was something I look back on. We'll touch on him first in terms of a surprise. I think just his growth from year one when he came in as a 16-year-old and kind of got his wings under him and figured it out and had those nerves of a 16-year-old that everyone typically does when they come to the WHL and was able to kind of battle the adversity, came in the next season as first-year draft eligible, was a B-rated prospect, kind of a borderline A guy, rose in the rankings, and then he did it all himself in the second half. He really, went to work. He battled. He put up the points. He showed. He did everything for the Hawks. He was a power play guy. He was a PK1 guy. He was on the ice in the final minutes. He was a speedster. He caught all the attention. He was a flashy player. And, of course, I'm sure from the scouting perspective, they're looking probably at this Portland team that's in first place and thinking, man, how can one guy be so many points ahead of his next teammate? Because Seth Jarvis was just blowing it out with over 90 points, and he had a chance to really make some WHL history. I think he was going to be the first player since Nolan Patrick to score 100-plus points in his first-year draft-eligible season, and I think only one other Winterhawk has accomplished that as well. I want to say it was Ty Ratty when he did it, but there were a couple of Winterhawks that he was trying to almost catch in a way, so that was kind of fueling him a little bit, and he was focused on himself. But to see him grow from essentially, hey, here's a guy who's going to be drafted, he's undersized, we've heard this a million times over. Oh, you're 5'10", you have a 5 in front of your height, you're not going to make it. But that doesn't define a player, and Seth kind of proved that, got all the way up to 13th in the draft. I thought it was a sensational day for him, a very special moment, loved chatting with him. I almost tried to keep away from him as much as I could, because I know he was being bombarded with the media requests, but I know everything was going great with him, and now he's enjoying some of the fruits of his own labor by playing with Hockey Canada in their selection camp that obviously has just been put on pause for a little bit, but just shows the kind of player he is as a double underager potentially representing his country. And then from Cross Hannes, I know the Detroit Red Wings were interested on him. I saw him on a lot of sheets, the Detroit scouts coming to games throughout the league to keep an eye on some Portland players in particular, and I knew Cross Hannes was one of them, and they had a couple of chats with him, and I think it's a great tip of the cap to Cross as well for going in the second round and kind of showing like, hey, I have the offensive finesse, I'm getting stronger, I'm working on my skating, I'm becoming a better defensive player, and he's kind of ready to take that step. So he's a little bit of a, the team's going to want to build with him because he has one aspect of his game super down, but there's still things they want to pick at, and I know there were some naysayers, if you will, on draft day thinking he went a little too high. But this is where you take, it's all about what needs to fit your organization. Detroit said, hey, this is a guy we need to bring in. This is a player we could really work with and develop. And Cross kind of fits that mold to the T, and he's going to be one that's really going to thrive under another year or two with Mike Johnston and Don Hay and Kyle Gustafson. And then Jaden Durow going was just another one of those, hey, you don't have to be on the charts. And it just proves you don't have to be recognized by Central Scouting. You don't have to be, the flashiest player. You just have to go to work to the rink, do your stuff, put up some points here and there, and you'll get rewarded for that. And this is one where Jaden Durow really made a name for himself. It wasn't him being dragged by Seth Jarvis. It was Seth Jarvis growing because of his chemistry and his work with Jaden Durow and how skilled of a player he is. And we're seeing that in effect, too, in the SJHL with Durow leading top three and points scored there while he's on a temporary loan. So it's just a really good year overall for the Hawks in the draft, as it was for a lot of WHL players. I was thrilled to see how many went in the league. And now it's just kind of, hey, when can we get these star players back on the ice and play in the dub territory?
Nick Merrick of the Portland Winterhawks, play-by-play broadcaster here on White Spot Giants this week. Just a few more here for you, Nick, and we'll let you carry on with your day. The ownership situation in Portland, I realize it's a muddy, complicated issue. So don't necessarily feel like you've got to, explain the Latin to all of us. But to the best of your understanding, where is the situation at, and how close could we potentially be to seeing the ownership saga resolved with the Winterhawks?
No, it's a good question. It sounds like things are trending in the right direction. Obviously, I'm not on the in with any of these things as much. Just not, you know, our ownership's handling it very well. And they're cluing us in as much as they can in terms of what the next steps are going to be. But it does sound like there's full realization that this will be done by the January 8th start date of the WHL. And they will have an owner in place there. I do know that an ownership group was accepted, and it's moving forward by both the Winterhawks. It was accepted by the Winterhawks and the receiver of the Winterhawks. So now it's on to the next phase where they just try and have to finalize it and make sure from the previous ownership, all the U.S. bankruptcy court, the Canadian bankruptcy court, the WHL, and all the legal jargon kind of gets sorted out. But they did make it seem that it's, you know, it's going to happen by the January 8th start. They would love for it to happen sometime, you know, in December before it gets into January. But they did say it was going to be finalized before the start of the season, so the Winterhawks would be able to play, which is obviously a great sign.
Next Saturday is going to be a busy one for you and I both, my friend. You and I are going to be sharing a virtual broadcast booth together as we do the commentary for the Saturday component of the Memorial E-Cup presented by Kia. I don't know. I kind of think about this, and I'm a bit excited about it. I'm a bit nervous about it. I'm intrigued by this. I thought the presentation, by and large, on day one was excellent. And I put it this way, man. I watched more of it than I thought I would on day one. I admit that I'm not huge into e-gaming when it comes to watching other people play the game. It just kind of makes me want to pick up a controller and play myself. But I think this is a really interesting, innovative idea by the CHL. Would love to get your thoughts just on kind of where this is all trending, how excited you are, and man, you and I better get cracking. Who's going to wear the shinier suit, you or me?
100%, Dan. I'm right behind you. I kind of share all the same emotions. I think I'm excited. It's a great move for the league, just to try to get these players a little exposure and have some fun. Like, you know, 2020 has been filled with a lot of hatred, a lot of ugliness, a lot of, you know, bizarre, unwanted, unprecedented that we always hear times. And this is an opportunity where we can kind of laugh a little bit and go on and play a game and just have some fun. And you and I will be able to, I'm sure, share some laughs. And we're going to have to figure out what we're doing, to be quite frankly, in the booth as well, because like you said, when have we ever broadcasted an esports type of event? But it's going to be fun. It's going to be interesting. I loved the first round of action too. I was kind of glued into the games. I wanted to tune into it. I even flipped it over to some of the French stream to see how that was going compared to the U.S. streams that were broadcasting. And it's almost like a thing of Netflix. I felt like it was one of those, like, it just one game rolled into the next on like the same kind of stream. So I'm just like, oh wow, do you want to continue watching? I'm like, yes, absolutely, I'm still here. Like, give me more. I need more of this. It was just good to see some of the players too, and see they were doing well and still representing the teams. And I think it was just a positive overall outreach too to the community. I saw plenty of fans get involved, and that's what the sport's all about. It's really all about connecting the community, making everyone excited about, you know, of course, the team, that's an easy draw in, but then also just the future of what's going to be, and kind of putting this 2020 chapter to bed. Let's have a fun little event to kind of kick off a Memorial Cup. And because, you know, how many teams and fans and players and staff members all kind of feel cheated out, but they didn't have the playoff season. It's a little way to bring a little bit of humor to it, a little bit of positivity before we go into the 2021 season. So I'm all on board for it. I just can't wait to strap on a suit. God bless. I hope it still fits. And we'll have some fun on Saturday.
Well said, my friend. How are you feeling about January 8th? And how's, I mean, I know, you know, collectively, I think we're all kind of, you know, moving forward on the assumption that it's our date until it isn't, I guess. But overall, I mean, can you give us maybe just a state of like the temperature of the Portland area right now? I mean, we get media reports up here about the situation, certainly to the south of us. And, you know, given the recent election and just all that has gone on, again, maybe just the skinny on kind of what a day in the life is like down there right now for our fans, because I know they'd be interested.
Well, Portland's ready to move on. Portland's ready to heal. Portland just wants to trek forward together and find a way through this. I mean, obviously you had the whole U.S. election that had the turmoil down here in Portland. And like you said, it cost all the national attentions of downtown. And I tried to stay clear of, you know, any of those protests and things that were going on in the actual downtown area. But I think it's just time to kind of get hockey back. And you see all the interaction on the Winterhawks page of, oh, you know, we miss you guys. We miss the rivalries with Everett and Seattle, and we just want to get back to the rink. We hope we can. And of course, we're looking at it too. When you mentioned the January 8th start date, I think it's extremely realistic that there won't be fans in attendance should that date start, at least for the U.S.-based teams, seeing how things are kind of trending and what the governors have kind of done with like the Pac-12 sports, which I think is a good comparison to kind of compare what's going to happen for the U.S. division and the WHL. I just hope that the January 8th date does in fact work. I know Ron Robinson said it was a firm, not tentative date, and that's kind of what I'm latching on to and just hoping we can get to, because this is, you know, it's tough times. It's frustration times, especially down here in the States for everyone. And for a new chapter is going to begin, if you will, from the political scene here in January. Barring everything going through correctly, how it's been reported, and then it's going to be, you know, hopefully, hey, take a sigh of relief. We're all on the same team here. Everyone just wants to get back to doing what we love, whether it's, you know, going to work, whether it's going to the park with your kids, whether it's going to a hockey game, just kind of get a little bit of normalcy back. So if January 8th could actually hit for the WHL, I think it's going to be a big step forward for everyone. Obviously, I'm planning like it will be, because none of us have heard otherwise. And I'm just kind of eager to hopefully see some schedules come out here in the next week or two and just see what's going to go on. I think the biggest shame, though, is how many fans love taking the trips across the border. And, you know, they would definitely go up to see the Giants a ton, because that's such an easier drive for the Hawks fans. And obviously it's a fun trip to get over to the island and go check out Victoria. So it's going to be a little saddened to see that those two teams potentially might not face off at all in the regular season, barring all the COVID situation. But just get something back to start at square one, and we could rebuild from that and get back to, you know, what we've been used to.
Last one here for you, Nick, and it's a little more lighthearted than the previous question. What have you been reading? What have you been watching? What have you been listening to?
You know, I've been listening to a ton of music, just trying to get through with that. In terms of reading repertoire, ripping through a bunch of magazines, I like all the quick hit stuff, so I've been scrolling through The Athletic pretty much daily. I have my Sports Illustrated and the Hockey News, now that's back, cluing it in. Wife's been picking up a couple new books from Barnes & Noble, so she's been enjoying those. And then just ultimately, what are we doing? Just trying to stay sane, right? We've been going on walks every day and just trying to get out and about a little bit and wear a mask and social distance and just try to enjoy a little bit of free time. I guess if that sounds weird, like 2020's been so hard, but at least the positive side is, well, got to enjoy the free time you can with loved ones. And it's not going to be bad when you're kind of quarantined, forced to quarantine with your family. So a bunch of movies. We've ripped through a ton of Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu series already. So I'm sure there's no more in the world we need to end. But then, of course, right when you say that, it seems like eight more series pop up. The people are like, you got to watch this. So we're always entertained on our shows and our binging. At least that's been a good time.
Well, Nick, I've really enjoyed the conversation, man. I always do. It'll be super fun to connect with you on Saturday when we do the commentary together for the Memorial E-Cup presented by Kia. And, no, man, just mainly above all else, want to just send you the utmost in positivity and health and safety and good vibes. Yeah, well, it's a crazy time for all of us. I know, speaking personally, it's a bummer that we likely won't be heading south to Portland anytime soon for hockey, but the day will come again, and when it does, the first IPA can be on me, my friend. Looking forward to seeing you again, and just stay safe, stay positive, pal, as best as you can, and we'll talk to you in a few days.
Likewise, buddy. Same to you as well. I'm excited to be able to at least work with you finally here and hopefully share a real boot together soon. And to the Giants fans, we miss you. I love heading up to Vancouver. Honestly, when I came to the WHL, it was one of the first times I even got to travel to Canada, which is pretty funny. But I fell in love with the staff there. You guys do an incredible job, too, to the Giants staff and all the fans and the energy they bring. And I really do miss that. It's one of my favorite away arenas to visit. So I just hope everyone up there in Vancouver is doing well, and we're excited to see you here soon.
Nick Merrick, play-by-play voice of the Portland Winterhawks here on White Spot Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650. A huge thanks to Nick, as well a major thanks to Trevor Longo for segment number one, and a huge thanks to you for making this show a part of your Monday routine. I'm Dan O'Connor. Stay safe. Have a great night. We'll talk to you next Monday. This has been White Spot Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.